And those words stuck in my heart. And God would replay them over and over again through my life. Sometimes in a drunken stupor, falling down in front of a television evangelist, and God's replaying my grandmother's words, "Rodney, you must be saved." You know, those words didn't fall on idle ears, but they were seeds that were planted. And I don't know how many of you here today, you may have some wayward loved ones. You may have some that are outside of the fold, and you've been praying for years and years, and you haven't seen any fruits. Trust me, the seeds are planted, and God is working, and God is on the throne. And I trust in time that they'll be watered and blossom. And I thank God for his mercy upon my soul. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 19, I'd like to start off with a little mini message before I talk about the outreach ministry, what God has called us to do and what we've been doing by his help and by his leadership. Would you stand with us as we read from God's word, Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Just lifting one verse of scripture here this evening, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, Father, we need your divine help and your inspiration and your direction and your anointing and unction tonight in this service. And Lord God, we're fully dependent upon you. I pray, dear Jesus, that you would touch each and every man and woman's heart here today, Father, to have a deeper desire to serve you, a deeper desire to reach out to those that know thee not, O God. We pray, Lord, for your divine fire from heaven to come and to purge the dross of every unsanctified heart here tonight, O God, that a fresh cleansing and a fresh baptism from on high would come upon our souls, even in this service tonight, O God. We pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you would help us to expound on your word and on the areas that you've touched our heart for this very service tonight, God. That you would give us wisdom, Lord. That you would make it easy to preach and easy to speak about what you've done and what you're doing, God. And then, Lord, in all things, I want you to receive all of the glory and praise and honor. For, Lord God, I know that I'm nothing, Lord, O God, except you come and pour out your spirit upon this vessel, Lord. It'll all be in vain, but, O God, I have an utmost confidence. Confidence in thee tonight, God, that you're here for a reason and a purpose tonight, God. And I pray, Father, that your blessed Holy Spirit would empower us to do your holy will, Almighty God. I pray, Father, that you bind every demon and imp of hell that would want to interfere with my mind and with this service tonight, with the minds of the congregation, Lord. I pray, God, that you would bind the very enemy of our soul, Lord God, that we can hear from heaven, Father, O God. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor because thou art awesome and wonderful and worthy of praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In thy wonderful name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. About a year and a half ago, I was blessed to hear the recovery story of three young people that had been lost in a forest. Not too far from here. I don't know if there's anybody sitting here under the sound of my voice that has heard about these three young people before or not. But they're very dear to me, being relatives of mine, a niece and a nephew and a cousin of mine. And they had gone back in the woods. If you know where my family homestead is, not too far from here, up the hill from the God's Missionary Church in Beavertown. And they had gone back into those state game lands after school one day. They decided that they were going to go on a little search for a waterfall. How many of you enjoy seeing beautiful waterfalls? Aren't they peaceful? Aren't they blessed? You know, one of the memories that comes to my mind is seeing that picture, that bird nestled in a nest, without a care in the world, why it's by a rushing waterfall, a picture of peace. Well, these three young people, they were in search. They were in search of something beautiful. They were looking for something that would satisfy the longing of their heart. They wanted to see these waterfalls, and they began to hike through this forest. And as they're walking through the forest and they found that first waterfall, they decided to press on a little further. And the oldest one was, I believe, around 13, 14 years old. The young fella, and he's encouraging the girls, "Come on, let's see if we can find some more." And as they would go on through their trek, it wasn't too long until they discovered that we better head back. And as they tried to make their way back, they soon discovered that they were lost. when they began to see the same things over again and realize that they're walking in circles. Well, maybe if this was in the morning and they had plenty of time, but you know, nightfall wasn't too far away. And that's a pretty huge section of woods there, if you think about it. It actually goes from the Beavertown Church all the way up to the top of the hill, probably at least 10 square miles, I would imagine, roughly. And as they're walking through this forest and they're becoming afraid, the two girls were at times hugging each other, and they were just scared. They didn't know whether they were going to make it out. One of their cell phone batteries was dying. What an inconvenient time for them to die. But they found themselves in a place at a time that they didn't want to be. What started out as something beautiful had become a disaster to them. And they would continue on their trek trying to find a way out. They would come across a couple of dogs. And it wasn't too long until one of the dogs actually began to follow them everywhere they went. And as they were traveling through this forest trying to find their way out, it wasn't too long until that dog came into a position of leadership and actually led these three young people out of that forest. And you know, that's just like God. That when we were lost, He followed us. He got on our trail. He just wanted to get into the leadership position if we would let Him get there. And then when He got in the leadership position, He's leading us home. Hallelujah. I think about the spiritual applications of these three young people. And I'm encouraged tonight to know that God knows right where we're at. But I also see that it took something as of a simple creature as a dog to lead them out of the forest. God needed a vessel. God used a vessel to lead them from being lost to a place where they could come out and be pointed towards God. Thank the Lord for His mercy tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm grateful for God and His mercy. And I think about these three young people and the dog that led them out. I think about that dog. I mean, a dog is a rather insignificant creature in many ways. Man's best friend. Thankfully, the dog was there by accident, I'm assured, right? No, I think not. I think God had that dog there at the right time and in the right place. Praise His wonderful name. But you know, I think about that word dog. I think about a dog. I think about some characters in the Bible, and we can think about the spies that went in to spy out the land. And I was preaching a message recently. I started to study the names of those spies. Do you know, if you think about the different ones there, the majority of those spies that went in to spy out the land and came back, and remember, some brought a negative report and only two brought a positive report. Most of their names meant something noble, like mighty of God. And if you look at the meanings of those Hebrew names, they had something, some nobility about them. Something wonderful. But you know, one of their names, Caleb, actually means dog in Hebrew. One of the great people of the Old Testament that God used in a wonderful way. And you think about that, how that God raised him up and to be in a position that he was able to influence and have such a wonderful effect. And now we think about ourselves and we think about the lost in this world. And you might say to yourself, well, I'm not much. What could I possibly do? Friends, if you'll just simply be a lowly creature before God and be humble before Him, when it comes to reaching out to the lost, all you have to be is a willing vessel. Because God is able to use your talents and your abilities, and sometimes even in your leannesses and your weaknesses, He is able to use you to reach out and to impact people's lives that perhaps you thought would have been impossible. Now you can ask some of my relatives that were here tonight. As a boy growing up, I was a pretty timid person. I didn't like strangers. I didn't like to talk to people I really didn't know. And in fact, to stand up and to address a lot of my immediate family would have kind of made me nervous. I can remember speech class in high school. Amazing, I took one, right? But I can remember speech class, and they made me get up in front of these people. I thought to myself, what in the world would I ever possibly need speech class for? But I was frightened, and I was scared. But you know, God began to work those fears out of my life. God began able to help me to reach out and touch people's lives. And from the early days of finding God, God helped me to desire to reach out and to touch people's lives with tract ministry. And I thank God for that. But I don't know where you're at in your spiritual walk. But are you willing to be a vessel? Because there are lots of lost people that need to be let out. That they need somebody who's willing to be a vessel. Make me a vessel. Praise the Lord. Is that your testimony tonight? Are you willing to be a vessel for the kingdom of God? I think about the scriptures found in Mark chapter 16. You're welcome to turn there if you like. Mark chapter 16. In in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a commandment that sounds so large that I don't even know how all the evangelical pastors and preachers and evangelists could possibly fulfill that. But when we dig into these verses and we look into the depths of them, we find this word preach means keroso in the Greek, and it means to proclaim. To proclaim after that of the herald, to be a herald, to share that message, to proclaim the gospel. That does occur right back here behind this noble desk, right here in a place that we call church, that we have fellowship, and we proclaim the gospel. But proclaiming the gospel doesn't just end here. In fact, really, this is a place of fellowship if you think about it. If you look at New Testament Christianity, the individuals, they would find God and they would gather together and fellowships would spring up across this land. Their purpose was to lead people to Jesus Christ. They were proclaimers of the gospel message. Praise the Lord. Are we proclaimers of the gospel message? It's more than simply to preach behind a desk. It's more than even to be a street preacher standing on the corner. But you can proclaim the gospel through so many different ways and different techniques. Track ministry is a wonderful way. And I've heard some people say, well, I just don't see the fruits in that. I just don't see the effectiveness of it. I've heard some different rundowns on track ministry. And you know what? You don't see a lot of the fruits yourself. But it is a major seed planting ministry that God waters and that God brings to pass. Many of us maybe have heard the story. How many have heard the story of George Street in Sydney, Australia? Anybody here heard that story before? There was a gray-haired old man that used to step out around the corner. He liked to hand out gospel tracts, and he'd hand out a gospel tract to somebody. And there was a particular pastor that traveled the world in his ministry, and he'd come along to certain churches in different countries, and he'd run into somebody. He loved to ask them, can you tell me your testimony? How did you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? And every so often, he'd hear a testimony something like this. Well, I was in Sydney, Australia, down on George Street, and a gray-haired man stepped around the corner and handed me a gospel tract and asked me this question. If you died today, do you know if you'd go to heaven? And he said, my heart was so gripped, and I took that gospel tract home, and I read it, and they typically ended up finding somebody that led them to Christ. But that gospel tract had an influence on their lives. It was a seed that was planted that God was able to water. And as he'd travel around, he'd run into missionaries, and he'd run into preachers, and he'd run into lay people that have a similar testimony of being on George Street in Sydney, Australia. Finally, one day, he ends up in Sydney, Australia to preach. He says to the local pastor, he said, have you ever heard of this man that hands out tracts, and gray-haired man hands out tracts on George Street? And he said, yeah, as a matter of fact, he said, I know where he lives. He said, really? He said, you must take me to this man. He said, well, he's not well anymore. He can't even get out. He's pretty much bedfast. He said, you must take me to see the man that's changing the world. And he goes into this man's home, and he begins to tell him what he's been finding and how over in this country and in this country, God had impacted people's lives through his tract ministry. And he tells this man the story, and the tears begin to run down the man's cheeks. And he says, sir, you have no idea what you've just done for me. He said, I'm laying here, I'm dying, I don't have much time left, and I'm thinking I am a total failure. He said, I've handed out gospel tracts all my life. I've never known of one person to ever get saved because of it. He said, you have no idea what you're telling me. For 40 years, he handed out gospel tracts. And the preacher asked him, he said, well, sir, he said, let me ask you a question. How did you ever get saved? He said, oh, he said, I was a wicked sailor. He said, I got off the boat one day ready to hit the saloon with a vengeance. And he said, somebody stepped out around a corner and handed me a gospel tract and said, if you died right now, do you know if you'd go to heaven? He said, I was undone. He said, when I got back out on the boat, he said, I sought the chaplain out, and the chaplain led me to Christ right there and then. He said, I vowed to God that I would do my best to try to witness to 10 souls every day of my life. He said, even with the exception of being sick and times that I just couldn't get out there, he said, I've been faithful to do what I told God that I would do in such greatness and wonderful thankfulness to God for saving his soul. He wanted to do something to reach out and touch somebody else's life. Now I got a question for you. When's the last time that you spoke to a lost person or handed a gospel tract out to somebody who does not know Jesus? Because there are countless millions and billions of people upon the face of the earth that do not know God. And of those that would profess to be a Christian, what percentage of them are actually real? I run into people all the time on the streets and they see a prayer station. They can get all excited. Some of them clap their hands, do circles and get all excited. Oh, a prayer station. This is just wonderful. And within a few short questions, you come to realize that they have no depth to their life. And chances are they're not even saved. I remember this one lady, she was so excited about the prayer station. She's clapping. She's literally just jumping around, going in circles, clapping her hand. She's so excited. I got a prayer station set up. And I started to talk to her about holy living. And all of a sudden, she started to say, oh, you're from that crowd? Oh, I grew up that way. Well, I'm glad that's out of my life. And she just kind of got all excited and ran off. There's a world out there that's deceived. I love to take the word of God when I'm on the street. And if I meet somebody and they'll say that they're a Christian, they know God. And I love to open up the Bible to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. For whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And I ask them, are you a 1 John chapter 3 verse 9 Christian? And they don't even know what that is. Chances are they probably haven't even ever read it before. And they look at those scriptures, and I love to have them read it. Open it up and actually have them read through the text. And will you read this out loud for me? Because if they're reading it out loud, I know they're actually reading it. And I've used that scripture, God has used that scripture to disarm so many people that are in a false religion, in a false profession, who think that they can have a real relationship with God while they're living in continuous, habitual, known sin in their lives. Friend, we have a job to do. There are countless millions and billions of people upon the face of the earth. And if we're relying just upon the preaching individuals, those that actually preach, those that are students of Penview, those that are students of other Bible colleges, those that have a call to stand behind the pulpit, we cannot fulfill this great commission unless we all pick up the banner and say, I will be a proclaimer. I'll be one that's willing to say something. I realize you're not all cut out to go out on the street at a prayer station. If I've had any volunteers tonight, how many would like to just come up and take over the service and begin preaching? Brother Walter? There aren't many here. I think there would be some if they were given opportunity to prepare, though. Your duty as a proclaimer is not simply in the doors of a church. I can remember a particular church. On the back of those doors, it says right above the exit there, it says, you are now entering the mission field. When you're walking out of the church, you are entering the mission field. This entire world is your mission field. If we really believe and understand that a doomed soul who does not know God is going to burn in an eternal hell, friends, that ought to motivate us that we need to do something. You say, but I'm timid. It's just not my personality to do much of anything. I'll pray. Sometimes prayer is an excuse. Sometimes all we can do is prayer. And God understands if you got physical problems that you can't get out there and you can't actually do something. God knows. God knows that if you're not able to do that. But he also knows that if you're able and whether you're willing. You know, God loves us so much that he sent his son, that he wasn't willing that any of us should perish, that all could have eternal life. Are you willing to be part of that proclaimers? Are you willing to be a proclaimer? One of the other things I'd like to mention here before I stop with the message part of the service is there in verse 15. It also says, go ye into all the world. If you look at the words go ye, it means one Greek word, proyo ohemi. And it means to pursue the journey on which one has entered, to continue on one's journey. So in other words, as we're going about the journey of our life, as we're going about our lives, we're to be proclaiming the gospel message. Now that makes it real simple. That means that it's great if we can dedicate one or two Saturdays a month and help go call on a bus route or help go knock on some doors or maybe go down to a flea market and help out with a prayer station or maybe go to a city every once in a while. And well, praise God for those times. But the word of God tells us as we're going about our lives, just be a proclaimer of the gospel. That's pretty simple to do. That any one of us can do. If I ask the question here, how many of us have ever been to Walmart? Let me see your hands. Come on, let's be open and honest. How many of y'all have been to Walmart? All right, so you're able to get to Walmart. So that means you're able to go to a lot of places. I mean, if Walmart's that important that you can get to Walmart, you can get other places. But you know, as you're going to Walmart, while you're in the parking lot, while you're in the mall, wherever you might be, it doesn't take a whole lot to put a couple gospel tracts in your pockets. It doesn't take a whole lot to pull one out of your purse, ladies. I think about that. I love the dollar bills, the $1 million, the $1 trillion. They just came out with $1 trillion. I guess it's the inflation that's happening. They keep raising them. I'm not sure. Somebody said that for every $1 trillion spent that we know somebody else, or for every $1 that we spend, we know somebody else who spends $1 trillion. I won't mention any names, though. But I love to have these things in my wallet, and I try to keep a reservoir of them there. And I get a little upset when I go and there's not one there, and it happens sometimes. And I see I've run low again. But I'll be there in a store, and I love to do this. I say, can you break a big bill when I go to pay for something? And they'll look at me, and they're like, well, yeah, sure. Most of them will tell you that they can break a bill. I said, are you sure? You got to be careful when you say that. And I hand them $1 trillion bill or $1 billion bill. I said, now, real quick, I said, that's for you. I don't want them to think I'm trying to pay for it with enough funny money, you know. I don't want them hitting some button under the counter and getting arrested or something. But it's an easy way to reach out to somebody, and it puts a smile on their face. I mean, Burger King, I've been in Burger King, and all of a sudden, everybody wanted one behind the counter. And they were coming out, the cooks were coming out. I mean, it was great. I mean, people love these things. I can tell you a story about a young lady. You want to talk about some hard cases. I went through this grocery store line, and I kept trying to give this young lady a track. And sometimes I'd stand in her line, even though all the rest of them were shorter, because God just had it on my heart to hand her a track. And I'd go through it, she'd reject every single track I ever tried to give her. I mean, every single time, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times I've gone through this lady's checkout line, and she refused a gospel track every single time. One day I go through the line, and she asked me, she said, hey, you got any of those $1 million bills? Oh, I don't have any. Would you believe it? The day that she wanted one and actually asked for one, I didn't have one in my wallet. So I said to her, I said, you know what? I said, I know I've got some out in the car. I said, I'll be right back. And I went out. I took care of my groceries, took them out, put them in the car. When I came back in, she was standing by the exit door where I went out waiting for me to come back. Now, you want to hear something even more amazing? I was invited to a church in my area, not a holiness church. I was invited to come and to give my testimony. That night I came and I gave my testimony, and in the back doors of that church walked a young lady and a young man who did not attend that church, but that night they decided to go to church, and that night they ended up at the church where I was giving my testimony, and it was that young lady that wanted that gospel track, and that young lady came to the altar that night and sought the Lord, and I say, praise the Lord. God reaches down and he touches lives, and he can orchestrate and he can lead, and in his providence he can do all kinds of wonders and to be seen. Praise the Lord. God is able to reach down because of some little piece of paper that looks like money. And on the back is a convicting message. I've seen all kinds of gospel tracts. If you're going to hand out a gospel tract, would you please make one commitment tonight? Read it first. Because some tracts should not be handed out. I mean, I had a terrible situation happen right down here at Penns Creek Camp. Somebody asked me if they could put some tracks on my prayer station. I said, sure, that'd be all right. And they put some chick tracks out, and some of them are fine. Some of them are meant for, the backside of Philadelphia in the slum part of the city where all the kinds of people that we don't want to see are. And one of those tracks was that kind of a track. And I didn't know about it. And all of a sudden, I seen Brother Martin, and this is a little bit later, Brother Martin comes up through the center of the church, comes around to the back of the tabernacle, swoops right in front of my prayer station, grabs the whole stack of them down the other side. I thought, what in the world is going on? And then he pulled me off to the side. I said, Brother Rodney, he said, what do you got those tracks up there for? This is a family camp. I said, what are you talking about? He said, this track has all kinds of things in it that nobody here should be seeing. Somebody had put those tracks there, and I gave them permission to do it. I didn't know what they put on my prayer station, but those tracks were not meant to get in the hands of young people. They were meant to get in the hands of prostitutes and harlots and drug users on the street, people that needed to hear what was in there. It was appropriate to the right crowd. Would you make sure that you know what you're handing out? Don't hand a tract that has about lust to a 5-year-old kid. Know what you're doing. In fact, when I'm out on the street, I got my prayer vest on, and I'll have pockets with different kinds of tracks. How do you keep track of them all? Well, the Lord helps me. But I'll see somebody coming down the street and say, Lord, give them that one. Lord, just tell me, give them that one. The next one come down the street. It's like God will give you wisdom on what to use. The $1 million bills are pretty harmless. You can give them just about anybody. But be careful. Know what you're handing out. But I don't think the biggest problem that we got is knowing what to hand out. I think the biggest problem that I found across the board in all kinds of churches is people that are willing to be brave enough to reach in their pocket and hand out a gospel tract or open their mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I had a situation in my life. There were some things that God had to do in my life to help me to open up to. I remember the first time I handed out, the first time I actually testified to somebody. The Lord was dealing with me about testifying, and this guy kept walking down the street in front of our house in Wilkes-Barre, and he would walk by there all the time just taking a walk. And, you know, the day after I got saved, guess what God wanted me to do? Go tell him what happened last night. Oh, Lord, he's a total stranger. I don't even know him. I mean, I just wave to him and say hi when he goes by. The Lord wanted me to testify to him. I can remember a situation that happened not too far away from here. Probably embarrassed the daylights out of my mother. We were over at, it was at Jurgen's restaurant, and there was a gospel band that was there, and Mom got me a ticket to go and sit down to this meal and hear this gospel band. And the Lord said, I want you to testify. Lord, in front of these 200, 300 people that I don't know, I was a new Christian, I was only a couple months old in the Lord. And there's a band on the stage. It didn't make sense. So I talked to the owner of the building. That's a good thing to do if you're going to do something like that. And I went to Mr. Yoder, I hope I'm saying his name right. Yoder, thank you. I went to Mr. Yoder. I said, Mr. Yoder, I said, Lord saved me a couple months ago, and he's called me to preach, and I just feel in my heart God wants me to give a word of testimony. And the band had just announced that they're going to take a break in a few minutes. And I said, would it be all right with you if I just got up there for just a minute or two and just testify what God had done for me? He said, sure. He said, that'd be fine. He said, I don't have a problem with that. He said, just ask the band before you go up. Well, when that band made their final songs, after the song, we're going to take a little intermission. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. So I met them at the corner over the platform over here, and they come walking down, and you can see, we could tell which one was the leader of the band, and I said to him, I said, God saved me just a couple months ago, and I'm all nervous. I mean, you imagine getting up in front of all these people you don't know. I said, the Lord wants me to testify here tonight, and I just want to check, you know, would that be all right? And she said, well, you can see it was not all right with her. I mean, this was not a band that I think was really spiritual. And she was a little shy, and she kind of came off with it. She said, well, why don't you check with the owner first? And I said, oh, he said it was all right. And I went on up on the platform. And then I felt like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. I mean, this is embarrassing. I went to the first microphone. It doesn't work. I went to the next microphone. It doesn't work. When I got to the third one, home run, praise God. And I just spent a couple minutes, and I began to testify about how God had saved me and what he had done to change my life. And all of a sudden, I hear this, hallelujah. Somebody shout over there. Somebody shout over here. And God was ministering to the hearts in that place. They may have came just for a little bit of a concert that night, but they got a testimony. Now, I don't think that God's going to make you get up in front of people like that. I'm telling you that there were some things that he did in my life to make me able to overcome some of the fears in my life. There might be some little stepping stones that God's going to do to help you to be able to reach out, to help you to overcome some of the fears that you have in your life. But I do know that there are times that we might look back and say, you know, I missed it. I really missed it. I wonder where their souls are at tonight. I wonder if they're going to make it. I can remember back when I was pastoring the Reitzman family and the Kreiners up at Gent Gospel Chapel. And it was right after 9/11. And I'm driving through Jew Shore, Pennsylvania, and it's getting close to midnight. And I'm not going to make it up there before midnight. And I need the basics. You know, you always need bread, eggs, and milk Saturday night sometimes. Well, that's what it was like. And I pulled in this convenience store, and I go in there to get my bread. Well, when I pulled in, there were just young people all over the place outside of this gas station. And they were standing around, and the Lord starts to speak to my heart. I want you to preach to them. Now, I had never open-aired preached in my life. Now, I don't think God's going to do this to you, but I'm telling you, there are some things that the Lord might do to help you to overcome your fears. He might bring a total stranger to you and ask you about your Lord. Then what are you going to do? Well, I can't say that I fared too well in every time that God allowed me to be tested and tried and put me through kind of his molding process. So I went in the store and I'm contemplating, Lord wants me to preach to these people. Oh, Lord, I mean, I must have turned pale white. I probably looked like a ghost. I'm walking through the store and I'm looking for bread, eggs, and milk. And I get it up, I put it on the counter, and I'm all beside myself. I finally went to the men's room. Good place to have a prayer meeting. And I started to pray. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, if you want me to speak to these young people, you're going to have to help me. And I was kind of getting all psyched up. And I felt like I prayed through the glory. I came out. I was ready to go do the job. And I paid for my stuff and went and crawled in my truck and put my groceries in. And then I drove off. And I get up on the side of the mountain of Dushore, just about a half a mile away. Now, you can put this in whatever box of your understanding you want to. But God opened up. I heard screams of young people. That's what I heard in my mind and in my heart. And they were screaming, God, you sent him and he wouldn't go. God, you sent him and he wouldn't go. The Lord brought to my mind the scripture in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That first word, that first part is the fearful. And I realized all of a sudden, their souls, perhaps because of my neglect, because of my fears, that I cowered down, they may be lost for all of eternity. And I turned that truck around and I went back down to that gas station with a new purpose in my heart. Because I realized that it was more so not the fear of my own soul, but it was because I heard those screams in my heart. Because I neglected their souls. And I got out of the truck. I kept tracks on the edge of my truck. They were bigger back then. And I couldn't put them in my pocket too easily without getting them wrinkled. And I kept a lot on the dash of my truck. I grabbed the whole stack and I walked over to the corner of the sidewalk. And I heard this from a brother at Penn View one time. And he kind of did this in witnessing to somebody. It just came to my mind. You know, the Lord will give you the words to say. If you'll just be the vessel, he'll help you to get out the right words. You might walk away thinking, man, I really blew it. But you know what? They were probably the exact words that person needed to hear. I got there on the corner and there's all these young people kind of just walking around. They were still mostly there. And I said, hey, guys, you like thrills? You like drama? You like violence? I got a story to tell you. Remember, 9/11 just happened this week. Was it Tuesday it happened on? I think this is Saturday. And they just kind of flocked in around me. I said, did you hear about the king of Israel? And they killed him. He was killed. Really, when did this happen? I said, on the third day, he rose again, and I began to preach Christ to him. And I just preached for about 5 minutes. It wasn't very long. And then half the crowd just left. But the other half stayed and listened. And then I started handing out tracts. Now, mind you, we're at a gas station. The pump is from me to you away. I hand this one tract to this young lady. She takes the tract with a lighter and sets the thing on fire. And she looks right at me. She said, what do you think of me? I'm demon-possessed. And my heart just broke. I said, but God's able to save you. God's able to change your life. He loves you. And I began to just say a few words to her. She put that thing out. She said, sir, if you'll give me another one, I promise I won't do that again. And after a few harassing questions, you're like, well, if God made everything, did he make my bicycle? And you're trying to answer all these lame questions. It came down to two young ladies, and they looked at me very serious. And the one said this to me. She said, you talk just like my daddy does. And I had the opportunity to talk to them about their souls and to send them away with gospel tracts and encourage them to find a church that taught a biblical new birth that doesn't believe in a sinning religion. Because there was no, sad to say, holiness church in Dushore, Pennsylvania. Why is there no holiness church in Dushore, Pennsylvania? I don't know. Maybe somebody just didn't want to hand out a tract. The message that I'm trying to get across to your heart tonight is the call is serious, and it falls on every one of our shoulders. No matter if you are born of God tonight, you owe it to the lost around you to reach out and know that there is a God, and you can do it. You can do it. No matter how afraid you are, no matter how many times you try and you think you've bought, God is able to use you. In fact, Brother Walter, I'm excited to see how many evangelists you got in your congregation. Would you mind if I counted them? All right, well, you got one sitting beside you. There's one over here, two, three. Oh, you're probably an expert evangelist. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Got one over here in the black leather coat. 11, 12, 13. Oh, sorry, guys. 14, 15. I'm counting the ladies here. You know, the old saying that a way to a man's heart is through their stomach. There's something I like to call stomach evangelism. You bake up some of those cookies. You make a nice loaf of bread. Whatever it is, you deliver it to your neighbor with a scripture reference on it. You ask them if there's a way that you could pray for them. When they fall over because you've shown up with bread and ask them how you can pray, would you pick them back up and try to minister to them? Just offering a word. You know, asking somebody if there's a way you can pray for them does so much for them. It opens their heart up. It really does. And I spend quite a deal of time tonight on outreach and evangelism. I'd like to take just a few minutes, if that's possible, and just share with you what the Lord has been doing in our hearts. Because of time, there's no way that I'm going to be able to get into the history of why and how God led me to start what I'm doing. I'm in addition to pastoring a small church that just came out of Home Missions not too long ago. As you well would know, small churches, typically their pastor's working some kind of other job. I ran my own computer business. I traveled the Keister Triangle, I called it, to central Pennsylvania, to up by Ulster area and back where I was at in the Allentown area. And I traveled that circle. I'd leave Monday mornings. I'd get back Wednesday in time for church. I'd leave Thursday, get back Saturday. And because I had to keep myself working. And God started dealing with me about closing down this business and trusting Him by faith and ministering 100% for Him. And I was frightened to take God 2 years to get it through my noggin. But that's what He wanted me to do. 2 years, and I won't go through all the fleeces that I put out and the way that God helped me to see this is His will. If God's speaking to you about walking away from your job and trusting Him by faith and living by faith, you better make absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt sure that this is God's will. Because if not, you're going to wreck your life. But God was dealing with me and patiently and across 2 years brought the revelation to my heart that this was clearly His will. I had no idea that I was going to be doing what I'm doing. I just knew that God wanted me to shut down that business. He really didn't even show me until I would trust Him by faith. Everything I tried, and I tried different things, different ways of trying to find out, is this really God? Would He come back to me? I want you to trust me by faith. I want you to trust me by faith. When I closed that business, I went up to see Brother Kaiser in New York City. How many of you ever heard of Brother Kaiser's ministry? How many of you been there? All right, we got a few that have been up there. What's wrong? You got the rest of you got to go up there. I tell you, that's a good icebreaker place. That's a good training camp. You can get about 18 in there. You can take the bus up there or take a small van. I think they can sleep 18 if I'm not mistaken. Maybe the number's changed by now. Go up there, spend a couple days on the street. Good training. Help you to overcome the fears when you see millions of people walking on the street. It's real easy to talk to somebody you don't know in a big city like that. But I spent 2 days with Brother Kaiser, and God brought me to the place. I said to Brother Kaiser before leaving, I said, Brother Kaiser, I don't feel like I should go home. He said, no, you need to go back to your community and pray and ask God what He wants you to do. And I told Brother Kaiser that God called me to shut down my business. I was already in the process of doing that. I already committed in my heart that I would do that. Through the course of time, God helped us to open up a new ministry that works as a mission. It's under our home mission department with God's Missionary Church. I function as a missionary doing this other ministry. Yes, it does overlap a little with my Northampton church because I have a place to bring people. But the whole ministry has become far more than I ever thought it would be. It's not simply about going out in the street to make churchgoers. It's about making disciples. It's about changing people's lives. It's predominantly a seed planting ministry. Within a short period of time after starting the ministry, the Lord helped us to begin to start creating CDs and handing out sermons on the street. Through the foolishness of preaching, men shall be saved. So I started handing out CDs, and in the course of time, God would start to multiply that. Soon I was spending a lot of time manufacturing CDs, and probably about as much time as actually going out on the street. I'd have to spend an hour or two making CDs just so I go out on the street for an hour or two. Because as soon as I get out, people just ate them up. Free CDs, gospel message, they wanted them quickly. I mean, they just went real quick. And so I began praying God would provide us with a duplicating system. In fact, He did more than that. The company I ordered the duplicator from, turns out that they will do the printing for me. Began doing all the printing for the CDs. Last year in 2009, since we received the duplicator in January of 2009, in 2009 we have distributed through this, and I say we because there's other people that come out and help me from time to time. We have distributed over 3,200 CDs with the message on it, anywhere from sanctification to just simple biblical new birth messages, messages to help people become strong in their faith. There's a message up here about protection from backsliding. I'll tell you, if you struggle sometimes and you're concerned about your soul, would you please take the time to listen to that message? One of the most, as a pastor, when I listened to that message, I found myself face down in the Gent Gospel Chapel parsonage, weeping before the Lord, asking God for more help. And it was encouraging to me. I needed what was on that CD. And I encourage you to listen to it. But God would take that ministry. I'm now shipping CDs around the world. I started on the website. I put all the free CDs that were up there. Just the other week, I shipped to Northern Ireland. I shipped to Nigeria. I shipped to India. And I shipped to the state of Washington all in the same week. And God has been using it in a very precious way. He said, Brother Keister, you just give CDs away. Isn't that expensive? It's really not that much. Because God has worked it out in a way that is such a blessing with the company that's helping, that's actually, they're doing the printing, we're doing the audio duplication on them, and God has been blessing in many ways. Let me ask you this question. How much would you be willing to spend to get 100 people to hear Brother Walter just one time? I mean, that'd be pretty phenomenal. What if you had 100 visitors walk in your church? I mean, your church went out on a massive evangelism crusade, and they brought in 100 people, and you wouldn't even have rows of chairs down the aisle and stuff. That'd be pretty phenomenal. That'd be worth some money, wouldn't it? Are you aware that if you became just a contributor, $5 a month, $5 a month would impact 100 sermons in the hands of somebody? That's not very much, is it? That's $60 a year. About $60 per 100 CDs is roughly. Now, it varies. If I order, 2,000 CDs, my price is a little better. If I order just 800, this is typically what I've been ordering. I ordered 800 CDs just a little bit, about 2 months ago. It'll actually be 2 months ago, right around now. And what's on the table is what's left out of 800 CDs. I want to tell you about a God that's using it to reach out to the lives around. God led me also to start adding sermons to our website. Many of our churches are starting to do this, and I understand you guys are video casting, a wonderful thing. In fact, I thank God for that. I sat in my home not too long ago, and I was sick, and I was able to sit there and actually sit in my bedroom and watch the service on a Sunday night, I think it was, because I wasn't able to come out to the church service myself at my own church. I thank God for that. But there are people all over the place that will never grace the doors of a church, but they'd be willing to take a CD home and play it. I'm out of my testimony CDs. I have some at home I had to make. I didn't get them made before I got here. But one day I got a phone call. I'm traveling back from a deputation service out in, I think it was in Ohio or out near the Ohio line. And I'm on my way back and I get this phone call. And it's this fellow on the phone. He said, sir, he said, I just want to let you know. He said after listening to your testimony CD, he said, I've decided to walk away from the mafia. I said, well, that's tremendous. I said, where'd you get the CD? He said, well, actually, he said, my brother got one at your prayer station out on the street. And he said, he gave it to me to listen to. And he said, I just want to let you know that I've had the courage. I'm going to walk away from the mafia after listening to your CD. I had a phone call come in not too long ago. This lady, and I get phone calls from all over. I have an 800 number that's part of the ministry. So wherever you're at, I get phone calls, Arizona. I get some from Africa. I don't usually try to answer those. I don't know if it's going to cost me money. But sometimes I see an African exchange number coming up. And but anyways, this lady calls and she said, sir, she said, I just wanted to talk to you. And I understand, you put the CD out, Overcoming Depression and Discouragement. And I said, well, where did you get that from? He said, oh, I got it from a friend. They loaned it to me. I said, well, I see you're calling from New Jersey. I said, where are you located at in New Jersey? Oh, I'm in Phillipsburg. I said, really? I said, I'm about 25 minutes from you. I said, how would you like a pastoral visit? And I was able to drive that short distance and go visit somebody that was in need. You know, God has so many different ways. I've heard of, and I won't mention the type of church it was, but this one church in the magazine I was reading, in 2 years' time, distributed 40,000 free CDs from their church. We have really missed a point of evangelism in our conference and in our holiness movement. I believe that if Brother Walter preaches a message in your church and you can just get it even on an audio CD message and you take it and you say, I'm going to just drop this up. I'll tell you what, that's as valuable, if not more valuable, than a track. I like to make a commitment. If I'm going to hand out a 60-cent CD, I look for a little bit more commitment than I do a piece of paper. I say, if I give you a free CD, would you listen to it? And I'll get a commitment from them. If they don't really seem interested, I don't push the issue. And they're really, wow, and someone will want more than one CD. I was in Dayton, Ohio this past summer, and while we were out there on the street setting up the CDs and the Bibles, and before I even finished getting everything set up, the whole stack of Bibles I had was gone. People just came right away, just soaked up the Bibles, and then they found CDs, and they're looking through the CDs. They were all excited to see, oh, wow, and I need this message. I need this message. I had a lady in Dayton, Ohio. We were back out there again in February. Went out on the street in Dayton, Ohio. We had two pastors, one from Troy, one from Dayton, and then myself and another assistant pastor from another church in Dayton. And we're out on the street in a cold day, and there we are. I mean, we're freezing. The wind's freezing us. We're out there. I said, we go out year-round. I said, as long as it's not a blizzard, not raining or something, I said, we'll go out there. And this one lady came to the prayer station. She wanted some CDs. Her English was kind of broken up, and I didn't know whether she was just not very intellectually sound or whether she wasn't able to speak English too well. But something was wrong, it seemed like. And she took the CDs, and she came back just a little bit later, and she said, can I have some more? And I thought, she said, I gave those away. She had given those CDs and came back for more. And then she started to testify to me. She said, I was dead. And I started to realize there was a medical problem. She said, I died. She said, but the church started to pray. And she said, I revived. She said, I go to church all the time now. God had reached down and touched that lady's life. And when she seen the gospel message, she not only wanted some for herself, but she wanted to reach out and touch somebody else's life with it. You know, there are people out there that are dying, and they need to be resurrected. And they're perhaps, in many ways, dependent upon the church to reach out to them, dependent upon the church to pray for them, to reach out and to touch their lives. I started to mention about the website. On the website, there's sermons out there. I believe we're somewhere around 60-some right now at this point. The last time I checked was a couple months ago, but we've received, over 700 downloads and playing of messages from that website already. And it was only launched back in the spring. And I want to thank God for that. So if you count what's on the website plus the CDs that we handed out, that right there is over 4,000 messages that have been effectively brought to people's ears throughout the world. And I want to thank God for that. That's not because of me, but it's because I'm willing. Can I use the expression to be a dog? To be a simple little vessel that is so dependent upon the master, because I know not what to say unless he comes and helps me. I want to encourage you tonight to somehow to catch a burden to enough that will motivate you. If you want some CDs to hand out, I manufacture them. If you want them in bulk to hand out, I just ask you to please help cover the cost of them. Every one of them says free audio CD on it, but in small print it says bulk restrictions apply. I don't want some guy ordering, hey, I want 1,000 of those CDs. They say free on them. Well, there's a line there that says bulk restrictions apply. But God can use it in your life. Help yourself to the resources that are up here. I'm going to open up the laptop. You'll see some different individuals on there. You'll see some Satanists that got saved at an open-air meeting. They were giving us a big problem. I was about from the prayer station to the center of this aisle right here in the front row and at a fairground. And these Satanists came and began to hold a satanic service right there on the ground in front of me. And I thought, what am I going to do? Here I am at the prayer station. I got two groups of Satanists walking around this carnival ground, hollering at me at times and saying all kinds of vulgar things to me because I'm there representing Christ. And I just kind of toed the line and kept steady. And as they're sitting in a circle holding a satanic service of some kind, the Lord gave me wisdom. And I just walked up to him and I said, I don't understand. Why do you worship a created being? Think about it. If somebody worships anything on this earth besides God, they're worshiping something that's been created or a figment of their imagination. And then the Lord gave me wisdom to step back and take pictures. And as I stepped back, I began to snap pictures of them. And that's what you see on the laptop. They see me. One of them says, hey, he's taking pictures. Boy, they were up so quick. They probably didn't want mom and dad to find out what they were really doing. I mean, it's just young teenagers. One of the pictures was so awful, I had to cut the edge of it off because of the way the one young lady was dressed. It was horrible. In public, at a public event. I couldn't imagine anybody that would want to walk around like that. She was hardly fit to be on a beach. I began texting that out. I thank God for my text phone. And I began texting those pictures out. I said, this is what's going on. These are the people that are giving us problems. Start praying for them. I went home and I sent it out to probably about 150 people on my email. Start praying for these young people. But you know, right after texting that out to some friends, the ringleader comes back over to me about a half an hour later. He says, sir, he said, we're sorry. We shouldn't have done that to you. We won't do it again. You have a right to your own religion, and we shouldn't have done that. I thought, wow, that's pretty remarkable answer to prayer. Well, the Wesleyan Church was holding an open-air meeting on the same carnival grounds 1 week later. I had sent the pictures out. The next night, I come back to the carnival, and you know, they're dressed in plain street clothes. I was shocked. They weren't in their black garb anymore. Something impacted their lives. 1 week later, open air meeting. Friday night comes, couldn't make it there. The pastor and some of his people I know there at the church, they said, oh, Pastor Keith, you ought to come down. We're going to have this open air meeting. Come on down and join us for a little while. Well, Saturday night, the thumb of God was in my back very much to go to that open air meeting. So I went down there and I'm standing among those that are there beginning to worship and they had already started and we're beginning to sing and things. And after everybody's done singing, the congregation sat down out there. They had park benches set up in an open bandshell arena at this carnival ground. And I looked back like this to find a seat. And the back row of that outdoor area was lined with that group of Satanists. I went over and I sat down right in front of them and I began to intercede for their souls. While I'm praying and somebody's singing a special, one of the young ladies drops to her knees right behind me and begins to seek God on the spot. One of the young Wesleyan girls there encouraged her after she prayed with her for a little while. I said, you know, he's going to preach a message. There'll probably be a time of invitation at the end. Why don't you just listen to the message and we'll go down with you and pray if you want to pray. So she got back up and they listened to the message, preached a tremendous message about the leopards and about salvation. It was a good message. And they had chairs lining the front of the band shell for an altar. And sure enough, as soon as he gave the altar call, every single one of them, just like a straight line, They walked right down and they knelt right across those front chairs that were sitting there. And I come walking down through and the Lord says, take a picture. And I got my camera out and I snapped a picture of them seeking God. And then I walked around the back of that little made altar and I laid my hand right on top of the ringleader's head and I began to pray for his eternal salvation. That young lady that was dressed so inappropriate was right beside him. It was his girlfriend. And she was crying fits of tears, seeking God. And you'll see pictures of that on the laptop. I want to tell you, when it looks like they've gone too far, and they've got rings piercing every part of their body, and you think there's not much hope, friends, there is hope. God's able to reach down. They're lost. They're looking to find their way. They don't know their way. They're going this direction. They're trying this. They're looking for something supernatural. And if they don't find it in the house of God and the things of God, they're going to find it somewhere else. And I'm afraid that they're finding it somewhere else more often than the supernatural with God. Because why? Maybe we haven't gone out and proclaimed enough. When's the last time that we prayed with somebody and they seen an answer to prayer? We're at the prayer station one day and this couple comes by and I had prayer with them and I gave them $1 million bill and they were praying. They had nowhere to go. They were homeless. 1 week later, I seen them on the street again and they had these big smiles on their face and she's patting her pocket. She said, we got bus tickets to Florida. Somebody's going to put us up down there and help us get back on our feet. I want to thank God for reaching. She said, God answered your prayers. And she said, by the way, you got any more of those $1 million bills? They want them. They ask for them. God wants to do something in your lives. One of the other things that God has put on my heart as I've been traveling around doing deputation is to hold evangelism classes, teaching people how to do cold evangelism. It's not that difficult. In fact, you know what? I want to know something. I want to know why the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'm not throwing stones at them, but I want to know why every Thursday night they're in their little place of gathering. And do you know what's going on behind those doors? They are training to disarm every single religion in this world. Whether you're Muslim, Catholic, evangelical, they train their people how to evangelize. They train their people how when they meet somebody to find out what they are and to use their scriptures to overcome them and bring them into being one of their converts. Are we diligent enough in our faith to say, I want to train. I want to know how to reach those that do not know God. If a group that does not really know Jesus Christ, they don't even believe that he's the Messiah. They do not even know him as their Savior. I asked my Jehovah's Witness barber one time as he was kind of, you know, back and forth. And not really an argument, but we're kind of debating about some of the things and talking about things. And I looked right at him. I said, do you know that your sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ and that you will enter heaven one day? And his head went down. He said, that I do not know. There's a world out there that needs God. And he's looking for a few proclaimers. There's a newsletter sign-up sheet up here. Please sign up for a newsletter. Gospel tracks. There's some samples here. I'm running low. I need to order some more. Help yourself to any of the resources up here. I'd say everything's free, but one time I said that, and a little boy said, everything? I said, yeah. He said, good, I want the computer. Okay, so everything's not free. But the tracks and the CDs, they're all free. Help yourselves. There's a new track that I've released recently. On the front of it, it's got some pictures on it. This came out of the Fruits of Street Ministry. And it's got the pictures of this poor young fella that a young lady in the back named Diane would recognize these pictures. And I appreciate a dear friend of mine coming, childhood friend Diane Rhodes is here this evening. Thank you so much for coming. And these are pictures which you would have known me by when I was young. And on the back side, it says on the front side, it says, is there any hope for a person like this? As some of the worst of the pictures of me are on here. I've asked people that, and sadly, some of them said no. But and then I rolled over, and I showed them the picture of me now. Or I might ask them if I'm on the street. I'll say, hey, have you seen this guy? I hear he's out on the streets. I hear he's right here on the streets in Allentown. They're like, really? Yeah. I said, have you ever seen him before? No, I don't think I have. And I rolled over. I said, are you sure? That's you? That was you? I gave my testimony at the Allentown God's Missionary Church, and sometime before they closed, and I had flyers left over. It's kind of where I got the idea. I had written the track about my life a year beforehand, but I just never had the burden to finish publishing. I didn't have a cover. I didn't have anything else, just the raw material. And I had these leftover flyers, and the way I happened to design the flyers, I had all the bad pictures of me on the top and a good picture of me on the bottom. Well, I had them folded in half just like this to fit in my pocket when I was handing them out on the street to advertise for the service that was going to be held soon. Well, I end up in Bethlehem, a neighboring city, and I had these tracks. I had these flyers for a service that had already come and passed, and I was going to throw them away, and I thought, you know, maybe the Lord will just use these pictures to somehow minister to somebody. This one lady comes, I was at something called a gospel fest. And my friends, it was so horrible that I sat my prayer station up almost a block away. I mean, when I arrived there, there was a lady just laying face down immodestly, and she was on some kind of prayer rug. And I mean, you wouldn't believe the stuff that's passing for Christianity today. We don't have time to just stay inside this building. You don't see as much as what you see when you get near the cities. But anyways, there I'm by the prayer station, the rock music, I'll just be straight, the rock music is blaring, supposed to be Christian, just blaring. And this lady comes walking by, and I approached her, and the Lord just had me to get out one of those old flyers. And I picked it up, I said, look at this guy. Now, the text was on the bottom, it didn't really say what it was about, it just had the pictures mainly on the front and what I did, and so on. I said, is there any hope for something like this, for somebody like this? And she looked at it, she said, I don't know. And I flipped it over. I said, have you ever seen this person? And she does this. She says, that was you? I said, yeah, God totally changed my life. I gave her that flyer. I gave her the track. She just kept looking at it. My phone rang the next day. It was that lady. She said, Pastor, she said, I met you on the street the other day. You know, I've been looking at it. I have that flyer that you gave me. I've been looking at it all the time since you gave it to me. I keep looking at that and I think to myself, if God did that for you, he can do that for me. She said, I need to talk to you. She came from a Catholicism background. She wanted to confess her sins to me. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, why don't you come tomorrow? I said, in fact, if you come during the youth service, while they're having youth service, I said, we can sit out in the vestibule. And I said, we'll just talk for a while. And we did just that. And you know, that day she prayed and asked God to save her. I talked to her a little bit later. She came to church pretty frequently. She's not been coming regularly now, and I'm concerned. But I had asked her a short time later. I said, since that day that you prayed, I said, have you struggled with the drugs anymore? And she said, you know, one time some friends came over. She said, I put a joint in my mouth. I took one drag off the thing. And she said, hey, I don't even want this. God had given her the power to overcome. Even though she's not been real regular and she's had her spiritual up and down, she's witnessing to the lady downstairs who's a drunk. She tells her straight out, she said, you know, you need Jesus. He'll help you get your life cleaned up. And you know, God's been helping her. I'm trusting that she'll come regular again. God can do so many things if we're just willing. Now, I know New York's a little bit further, but if you'd like to go out of the street sometime, weather's changing. Once the weather gets nice, it gets a lot busier in Allentown. I go out year-round in Allentown, but probably only need about one or two people. But, you know, once it gets warmer, we can take a few out. A weekday is actually the best day to go. Penn View students, if you want a Monday trip, come down on a Monday. We go out in the street about 11, 11:30. We get done probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock. That's the prime time, maybe 3. And you can still be back here in time for the supper menu. Come down. Try it out. Check it out for the glory of God. Get some experience. Take the time to practice. The souls around you are dying. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to put forth the effort to help others find him? There's, like I mentioned, the newsletter sign-up sheet. There's something I call a Mission Possible card. I travel around as a missionary. Now, of course, I don't take 2 months off or 3 months off like an average missionary would do, because I'm a home missionary and I'm actually pastoring a church. So I'll go out maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, do a deputation service. Maybe I'll take a Sunday. I have a regular fill-in that lives near the area down there that he's been filling in for me and helping sometimes. But I've come to realize that unless I have regular supporters, it's very difficult, especially with the increase of the CDs. My CD bill can run $200 to $400 a month at times. I mean, it can cost some money. For $5 a month, you could supply 100 CDs in the hands of people. That's pretty remarkable. $5 a month. That's not very much to spend. And you know, God is able to use that. But without this, without contributors, this mission will not continue to be possible. But I'm believing that God will provide, and he has all along. Right now, as it is, I have less than $100 a month of regular contributors. Everything else is raised. Sometimes I'll go out to church, a small church, and I'll eat up half of what I bring back just in gasoline. But you know, God has reached down and met the need. There's somebody listening online tonight. If you'd like to contribute to this ministry, if you go to godsmissionary.com, that's not our conference site, it's actually the street ministry site. I call it God's Missionary Evangelism. Godsmissionary.com, there's actually a link on there where you can make a donation. And I thank God for that. I appreciate your attention tonight. I hope I haven't kept you too long. So the Lord richly bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Rodney, for the excellent challenge to us tonight. I encourage you to take note of the things there on the table, but we're also going to receive an offering which will support Brother Rodney's ministry entirely. Brother Andrew Thomas is going to favor us with an instrumental as we receive that, which, by the way, Brother Rodney having family here tonight.